This is Mythical.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is Dispatches from Myrtle Beach with Charles Neal and my son Link from Good Mythical Morning. How you doing, son?
I'm doing all right, Dad. Some days are better than others. And, you know, it's one of those, I would say I'm, you know, some days are a 10, some days are a 5. But seeing you is notching it up. I don't want, you know, it's not that we have to get into why it's a 5, but hey, sometimes it happens, right? Where are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, Ben's, it's Friday when we're recording this. It's probably getting close to a 9 or a 10 because I don't have to go back to work anymore this week.
I love hearing that. See, now I can feed off of your energy. Yeah. And you can give me up to a 7 by the end of this. Maybe an 8. And
I think I can get you to an 8 pretty quick.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I welcome that, Dad. And the beauty is, it's not like you got to give me 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 3. I'm good at math today, too. It's not like you got to give me 3 of your points. I think when you give me points, it might boost your points too. You might go all the way to 10.
Well, I was kind of wondering if you noticed anything different about me.
You know what? I did. And all good things must come to an end, I guess.
Well, you reckon?
It seems like it was your mullet. Oh, you got me. I felt sure. That you, because your hair, I felt sure you got that mullet cut off, Dad. You really got me. I was like, man, I'm already having a 5 of a day, and Dad cut his mullet off, and I don't want to be negative about it. So I'm just going to say all good things must come to an end. I'm so relieved. I thought I was having to carry the mantle myself.
Yeah, there you go. It's still back there. Yeah.
it's longer than ever. It's just shorter on top, which made it longer on the back.
Yeah, I'm gonna let it grow a little bit more on top. When it's hot, I've been putting it up a ponytail working because this. Hey, when it's hanging on your back, it's hot.
Oh, okay. So the mullet is in danger.
It ain't going nowhere.
Well, I just want to go on record. I love that you've done it, and I love the look. But whenever you want to change your look, do not factor me in at all. You know?
Okay.
I like changing my look so much, and I don't want people telling me how I'm supposed to look. So we had our fun, and I'm going to be supportive of whatever hair decisions you make, Dad. Yeah. I love you for who you are, not just for the mullet, but I also love the mullet separately.
Yeah, I kind of run this by Logan. I said, Logan, I'm going to put my mullet up in a ponytail and see if Link catches it. So she loved it. So we got it going on.
I mean, that was a big emotional swing. It went from I no longer have a mullet to my mullet is so long now I can put it in a ponytail.
Hey, Well, you kind of know this, but we're going to tell everybody else. I'm coming to L.A.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, we basically decided this yesterday. This is very fresh news. I'm like, are we sure this is happening? I don't want to get too excited. But yeah, coming out to L.A., our idea is to make the next Dispatches from Myrtle Beach in person. The first ever in the same room that's not at a remote location. Because we did it at Mythicon. But this will be like a classic in the same room podcast. Can two Charles Neils be contained in the same space? We will find out.
Yeah, you might have to get all them people to work for you prepared too for two Charles Neils too.
Because you're gonna come to work. Like you're gonna work full hours here for a handful of days. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, that's what you told me. So
clock in, clock out.
Yeah, clock in, clock out. And, you know, I'll probably have to talk to somebody else, see if you're going to send me a check or not if I'm clocking in and clocking out.
That's a good point, Dad. That's a good point.
We ain't worried about that. But yeah,
Nana's happy.
It tickled me. Nancy said, well, when are you going to L.A.? I said, wait a minute. That's not what Link's email said. Link's email said, can y'all, as in good Southern lingo, can y'all come to L.A.?
That's right.
And she just lit up like a lit up Christmas tree then, boy. She said, all right.
She assumed she wasn't invited? Of course she's invited. I mean, I'm not going to bring you out here without your handler, without your trainer. Like, she's got to have that chair to, like, hold in front of you like a tiger trainer, you know, like a lion trainer.
Well, besides all that, you've been doing pretty good. I mean, have I got you up to about a 7 yet?
I'm at a 6.5. You getting to give me some more of that dispatch. Right. Work it on up.
Okay. Well, we're getting on up very well.
Okay.
I got a holler out from Sage Mitchell.
Okay.
And who taught me how to write my name in Japanese.
For real?
Yeah.
How? How did... Like, it was there like a video? She sent me
an email with it and how it is and...
What? Okay. What does that say underneath?
That's how... Charuze is Charles.
What?
In Japanese.
Hold it up a little higher.
A with a little line across it.
Charuze? Charuze.
Charuze.
Yeah. Charuzu. Charuzu.
Yeah.
I'm more impressed with that than the actual Japanese writing above it, but that's pretty cool too, Dad.
Yeah, because I had something to copy, but look up above it. It's got your name on there.
Ryuku?
Yeah, I thought, how did that get linked?
Rinku.
Oh, R-I-N-K-U. Rinku and Charuzu. Why does my name start with an R?
We'll have to ask Sage about that.
So the L became an R. Rinku and Charuzu. I got to remember that.
Rinku.
Yeah. It sounds like it's pretty upbeat, the way you're saying it.
I hope if somebody from Japan is tuning in that we're learning a little Japanese where y'all can not have to understand English all the time.
Oh, you think we're going to reach a Japanese audience just because I occasionally call you Charuzu? Okay. I'm hopeful too.
It's time for another edition of Myrtle Beach Mailbag. Well, I got an email from Matthew.
Okay.
And he asked me, have you ever been fired from a job?
Yes, Matthew, this is a good question. Do I have to answer this too? Because I got to think about this. Have you ever been fired from a job, Dad?
Or should I say, yes.
How many?
One.
One job.
One job.
At a time. Tell me about it.
No, I ain't never been fired, but from one job. I stopped working and changed what I was doing, but I was working at a plant called Frontier Spinning.
Okay.
And I was working third shift.
What did they do there?
They make yarn, take yarn and make yarn and where they yarn it up and whatever and put it and make it where that these shirts we got on where they can send it off and then they can make the shirts and the clothes and stuff. That's how they make the yarn comes from cotton.
So cotton comes in the back door and then yarn and thread goes out the front door.
That's correct.
And what was your role?
Well, my role was to keep enough little rolling things when the yarn come off that they could stack it on there and to sweep the floor. I had to look kind of the lowest job on the totem pole.
Okay.
And I knew the man that was over the whole plant. He was a pretty good friend of mine.
So he got you the job.
He got me the job. And his name
was
Roger.
How old were you?
This has been in like 1988.
All right. You were a full-grown adult. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was an adult.
And okay.
They had a posting for a job, and they were supposed to go by seniority. And my supervisor on third shift, I put in for this job, and he gave it to one of his buddies that had just started about a week before that. That didn't go over good with me because, I mean, that's been 10, 20, 30 some years ago, and I could still be kind of hot-headed. Okay. So I took him and the boy that he was giving the job and carried him in the office back there and locked the door.
Whoa.
And
what?
You
locked them in with you and to have a meeting.
And yes, to have a meeting and where they couldn't. And that was the only door, the only way in and out. And I told the boy, I said, you know, one way or the other, he ain't getting this job because he ain't going to be able to work here no more when I get through with him. And it's going to be about the same way with you.
Whoa.
Unless you change your mind and give me this job. He said, well, I ain't going to change my mind. So the man that hired me to run the plant, I had his telephone number. And I called him at 2:00 in the morning. Well, one of the guys outside that worked in there that knew me, he said, you boys is in a heap of trouble. That's all I can tell you. And then somebody else come up there and said, well, they've called the police. They're on the way. I said, well, bring them on. So I called Roger and told him what was going on. He said, well, probably the best thing for you to do is just go on. And when I come in to work tomorrow, you can come back down there and me and you and this supervisor, we'll talk about this and see what's going to happen. But then he told me, he said, but you probably still ain't going to have a job there. I said, that's fine, Roger, but I'm going to be down there because if you're going to run a plant, and you got rules to go by when you hire somebody and supposed to promote them. This supervisor ought to know it. So the next time he does something like that, somebody like me might come walking through the door. So I just got my stuff and he told me I didn't have a job no more and I went on out the door. And that was the end of it. I didn't hurt nobody. and while I was leaving a police car pulled up, and I knew the boy that got out of the police car Jamie Thomas, and I told Jamie, said, they didn't call me about you, did they? I said, oh, yeah, they called you about me, he said. I said, but I left, and I didn't hurt nobody, so I'm getting in my truck and leaving, and I left and went on out the door. But I did go back the next day, and me and Roger and that supervisor had a come to Jesus meeting up there, and Roger told that supervisor, he said, I better not never get another call at 2 o'clock in the morning, woke me up with somebody working down here, because you're not doing your job like you were supposed to, and promoting people instead of, and having favoritism. So
wow.
I might have done a little good, but I have, Matthew.
But you lost the job.
I've been fired from a job, but I was already working and painting in the daytime. It wasn't like I didn't have another job to go to. I was working two jobs.
So you don't regret it? No, you haven't.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't have changed a thing?
No, nothing.
Locking the door?
Not even locking the door.
Okay. All right. You're a man of principle. You're a man of principle. You thought you should have been up for the promotion, at least ahead of this guy. I understand.
Yeah.
No judgment here, but I did get a lot. I did get a kick out of it. Wow.
So, that was back when I still had a pretty good temper and kind of thought things ought to be like I thought they ought to be, not like he thought. So, yeah. So I'm better now.
Yep.
Son.
And I bet they are too. I bet they're better too.
Yeah.
I think maybe let's just say everybody won in that scenario. Let's say that. Everybody won.
Yeah, because I guess they had to hire somebody in my place to start down on the lower level, and that boy got to keep his job too. So, I mean, everything worked out for all them too. So,
there you go.
It's all well and fine. Yeah. So, Matthew, yes, I've been fired from a job.
Yep.
Probably because of my own doing, but I've been fired from a job.
I don't think, not to rub it in, Dad, I don't think I've ever been fired from a job. I've been sent home from a job for being really bad at it. But then I was able to come back the next day and as a reprieve. This was back when I was, when I spent the summer in Santa Cruz on the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, and I was given a job as a ride operator. And I was so excited about it until I was assigned just the kiddie rides. The most mind-numbing. You're out there in the heat, and you're just waiting for kids, like toddlers, and their moms and dads to like put them in it, and you gotta pick toddlers up and like put seatbelts on them, and then take the seatbelts off and take them out. I just wasn't in a good headspace, and I was just bored out of my mind. So like I had this look of complete disgust on my face. It's like if I really relax my face and if I'm bored, I might look somewhere between disgusted and angry. Like no one wants to hand their toddler to some seething 20-something college student, you know?
Yeah.
And my supervisor came over and was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I was probably defensive." And then she was like, I was like, "Yeah, I'm just having a hard time today." She's like, "You know what? Why don't you just go home? I'll cover you for the rest of the day." And I felt so embarrassed. Like it was a low point. Like talk about a walk of shame past all the toddlers. Man, it's like, I'm supposed to be bringing joy into these kids' lives, and I really felt like shit. I really did, and I think I went back to my room and wept a little bit. I really did. Like that's how, I just don't like disappointed people, and it just seemed very cut and dry. This was on me, and I could do better. I could do better.
Yeah, that was way before you'd had kids and everything. So you that was a learning situation for you
and it's
with
not,
children.
Right. Thank you, Dad. Mm-hmm. And it's not for everybody. That wasn't for me. But I made the best of it. And I didn't get sent home again.
Well, that's good.
But I've never been fired. I've never been locked in a room because someone else was about to get fired either. Yeah, we don't do that here. When you come out here and you're working, I don't want you locking anybody in a room, okay?
I ain't going to do that. Myrtle Beast, I'm here to remind you that Good Mythical Evening is back on Thursday, August the 24th at 7 p.m. Pacific, streaming on Kizwee. More uncensored, unfiltered, and unhinged than ever. Go to goodmythicalevening.com for all details and to purchase your tickets.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Well, we're going to move on to another email. We got one from Alyssa L.
Okay.
And I thought this was a pretty neat question. It says, what inventions during your lifetime were you most amazed at?
Oh, okay.
And, you know, Alyssa, I thought about this just a little bit, not to just jump into something, but it's really, I guess the thing that's the most amazed to me is where we've got cell phones now and we walk around like, Lord, we can't do with that this thing. Mm-hmm. Can't lay it down.
Nope.
We got to have it to get directions to go somewhere when we're driving somewhere. To look up and how to spell a word or not use the dick. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. So
right.
I really think that you know, and I know there's been a lot of stuff, but when you're born in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
the way it was when I was growing up, because you had to either get in a car and go see somebody or go to the house telephone that was hung up on the wall that was plugged into the wall.
Right.
It'd be interesting to me to know in 20 years, the people that are like 20 or 30 now and getting close to or up to my age, what would be their take on what was the most amazing invention of their lifetime?
Yeah, because the internet's a given. I mean, the internet is the easy answer for me. I mean, it's like it obviously changed so much. It's like the biggest change. And the phones are kind of underneath that for me, or like wrapped up in that. Like the biggest acceleration of historical change since like the Industrial Revolution. But it does make me think, you know, from like your farming days, being on a farm, there's actually a lot of technology that has always changed pretty quickly when it comes to farming. They're always looking for new ways to increase efficiency or like to bring it, you know, whether it's like on a chemical fertilizer front, like making crops better, making everything more speedy?
Well, that's kind of amazing that you bring that up, because I got friends that farm now still.
Yeah.
And when I farmed back in the 70s and the 80s, and when we run a row, to start a row and try to run a straight row and everything, we just picked a spot and tried to do it ourselves with the steering wheel to keep it straight and go down the row.
Eyeball.
Well, they got tractors now, and Steve Thomas and Tim Thomas and them's got these big John Deere tractors, and Tim's got them set up on the internet. When he pulls in a field, he has done this on the computer at the shop, and it goes to the tractor, and it tells him how it's going to run the row for the best efficiency, where the water will run, it'll drain, you won't have any erosion.
Wow.
And when he hits that button, he just sits back in the tractor and folds his hands back. And until he gets to the end of the row, that's it. He don't have to do anything.
It's autonomous. Does he even need to be in the tractor?
Well, you got to have it to where when you get to the end of the row, you got to hit the button, stop, and turn the tractor around. But there may be something now where...
Not for long.
Not for long, I'm telling you. But I think that, I mean...
Put a baby in there. Put a monkey in there. Do the Thomases have a monkey?
No. I don't think so.
They might need to get one.
Well, we're going to get on. We got another email from Flynn Gorman.
Okay.
It says, "My name is Flynn, and I'm a second-year medical student studying to become a doctor in Australia." Australia. Do that for me one day.
Australia. Do that. Australia.
Yeah. Do that accent they talk like.
I'm crocodile. I can't do it, Dad.
Oh, my. It's a croc. It's a croc. Blimey.
Blimey. Yeah, blimey. Oh, yeah.
Outback Steakhouse. Outback Steakhouse. Blooming onion. Shrimp on the onion.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But he's going to be a doctor in Australia, and he says, "I know that both you and Link have had some experience with doctors in your time, and you probably both have some good and some bad experiences.
Okay.
So as an aspiring doctor, I was wondering if you had any advice for how I can make sure to do a good job and make the experience better for patients when working as a doctor in the future."
Oh, wow.
Well, Flynn, you called the right place. You sent us, especially for me.
Okay.
But
let him have it.
But I know you, and I don't know, I guess they kind of teach this in medical school, but you're going to end up with some kind of bedside manner. But you need to have a bedside manner, or a patient, if you just got a doctor's office, when you come in or they come in to see you, that you're just not going to run in there and say, "All right, this is what's wrong with you," and just say, "This is what we're going to do, and I think this will help. If it don't, just come back in about, I'll set a thing up, and you can come back in about 2 months or something. We'll check on you again and see if it's working." Flynn, don't do that. Sit down. These people are at the doctor's office because they got something wrong with them, and they want you to articulate with them and talk to them and try to explain a little bit about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just make it I'm just going to tell you this, Flynn. Just don't make it a money thing that you're trying to get as many patients in the door. As you're getting people in and out the door. And I know that's important, but it shouldn't be the most important thing that you do, because So spend time with your patients, but and I'm gonna give you something that hadn't been it's been 2 or 3 months ago that my wife, Nancy, had surgery. And the doctors and stuff that did the surgery and stuff were all fine in the hospital we was at, but something happened with Nancy while she was having the surgery, and I was sitting out, and she went in. We got to the hospital at 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't take her back till about 10 o'clock.
Oh.
And then when they took her back, and after I got to go back and go see her, I had to go out in the waiting room and wait. Well, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I hadn't heard a thing in the world. Ain't nobody called me.
Uh-oh.
Ain't nobody said anything to me.
So you found Nancy, you found a doctor, and you took him into the office and you locked the door.
No, not quite. And about the time I was getting up, because they had a board up there where you could look at it, and it had her name on it, and it said, in recovery. Well, it'd been saying this for 3 hours. She was in recovery.
Uh-huh.
And finally, the lady that was working at the little desk out front came up to me and said, oh, there's a nurse going to call you in just a minute on your phone. I said, well, that might be a good thing, because I saw you was getting up. And I said, yes, ma'am, it's been a pretty good while just for somebody that's getting their gallbladder out.
Yeah, that's concerning to have to wait that long.
And it won't but a minute, my phone rang, and the nurse called and told me what was going on with Nancy and that they were having a hard time getting her awake. And I told them, I said, well, don't y'all think that maybe y'all had just come and got me and had me come back there and see if I could help get her awake and having somebody in there besides all you strangers? And they were hollering at her, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Wow.
And telling her to breathe, to breathe. I said,
this sounds scary.
Well, it scared me pretty bad. And she said, well, she is getting better, but we're going to have to admit her. So Flynn, what I'm telling you, and I know the doctor wasn't even in there, but the nurses and that's working for that doctor in these hospitals, they ought not leave somebody just sitting somewhere in a room for 3 or 4 hours and not knowing what's going on with their spouse or ever who they've got in there being operated on. So that'd be a good thing to take with you to make sure that people are aware of what's going on with the patient.
I think it's hard, you know, for put myself in the shoes of a doctor. I think it's hard to not just move from, okay, I'm going to help as many people as possible. Even if it's not about the money, it's about, you know, doing your job. You forget that everything seems so high stakes to everybody who comes in there. No matter if the problem is down here or it's up here, well, that's the biggest problem they probably got at that actual moment. So it's tough to enter somebody's life right there empathetically and connect with them. But, you know, I think that matters so much, right? It's like you can have all the degrees and all the knowledge in the world, but if you can't connect with somebody that you're caring for, like speak their language, get them to understand, let them know that, I mean, you're communicating care on a human level, not on a doctor level. Obviously that's, it makes such a huge difference, but I think it will probably be easy to forget if you're like, well, broken leg, fixing this problem, fixing that problem, and just kind of moving through it, you know? You kind of forget, oh, each one of these is the only problem they have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and Flynn, I got one other little story to tell you, and I probably ought to, but I have what they call CLL leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found out I had it, at my regular doctor, they did a great job finding it. But I'd been sick some And then I went to where my wife's cancer doctor was and had somebody there that was helping me. And they was kept saying, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. Well, this went on for 6 months. And I was getting really sick. I usually weigh between 190 to 200 pounds. And I got down to like 155 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
I was sick. And they had told me they were going to call Duke Hospital and where I go now. And this doctor I was seeing over there just kind of, we'll get this fixed for you. Well, they didn't never get it fixed. And I called Duke Hospital and asked them if they'd got the information that that doctor's office was supposed to send. And they had got half of it, but they hadn't got the other half. But to make the story short, Duke Hospital got the rest of my information and set me in an appointment that day. And Nancy carried me up there that Tuesday. And since then, they put me on this medicine I'm on, and I've been well. So don't prolong stuff if people are really sick. You know, if you tell them you're going to do something, take care of it, because it could end up being a terminal thing.
Christy has taught me this so much because she's so good at it with her own health and with the kids too, and with me a little bit, is advocating for yourself, making sure that, like, okay, just because the doctor tells you something or even if you don't hear something, it's like, well, you've got to press, and you've got to be the one that cares the most. And like you said, you went from just waiting around for 6 months and saying, well, I'm going to start making the phone calls. And unfortunately, that's the thing that I've learned, is that you can fall through the cracks if you're not advocating for yourself and covering your own bases. And that takes a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to move on down the road and do the non-dirty, dirty word of the week.
Oh, good. So a little bit more lighter fare.
Yeah.
All right. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm at a 7 right now, Dad. So can your non-dirty, dirty word of the week bring me up to an 8? Let's find out.
It's time for our non-dirty, dirty word of the week. Well, the first word is lobcock.
Lobcock.
That's it.
So if you were about, like, if you're lobbing something, you're gently throwing it. But if you're lobbing a cock, does that mean it's not attached to anything? And of course, I'm talking about a chicken here.
A chicken? No.
Use it in a sentence. Give me a hint. Use it in a sentence.
The bum fiddler put a fuck sheet into the tease hole instead of fuel. What a lob cock.
I see what you did there. You used all the other words that you taught me. I don't, honestly, I can't remember what a bum fiddler, a tease what? A bum fiddler.
Tease hole.
Oh, God, fuck sheet. I remember that one was on a ship, right? Or was it the bum? One of them was on a ship. I can't remember which one.
That's correct. Yep.
What a lobcock. Okay, I think you've made it pretty easy. This is the dumbass.
It says an old Tudor English word for an idiot or an unsophisticated clownish bumpkin. Bumpkin.
Okay. All right. Well, hold on now. I might be in the running for this. I'm not going to throw you under the bus, but I'll say I might be in the running for that label every now and then. a bumpkin?
Yeah.
This is like a backwoods dummy.
Yeah.
Hey, there's worse things to be. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I bet a lobcock can be living his best life, right? Ignorance is bliss sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
One person's lobcock is another person's cock lob. When you say chorizo, what's your Japanese name again? Chorizo? That's your Mexican food name. What is it? Char Look at your whiteboard.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Chorizo, that's it?
Yeah.
That's chorizo. Not it. Chorizo.
Chorizo.
What is it, Logan? Help us out.
Chorizo.
Chorizo. You can't read your own writing, Dad.
No, I can't.
And I'm talking about the English writing.
Yeah. That's what I hear. Me and Logan's already talked about that, about how I write. So don't you get on my bandwagon, too.
Well, I already am. Chorizo. I mean, you're giving doctor advice, but you're writing like a doctor.
That would be correct.
Chorizo and Linku. We got to remember that.
Chorizo.
Well, Dad, I'm going to tell you, right now, especially with this lob cut, I think you got me to an 8. I think I can hold steady at an 8. And all you've right. done it.
Okay, well, I am so glad that we've got you from a 6 to an 8.
I think I was at a 5. That's a big jump, Dad.
Oh, okay.
Few people can do that, and you did. So thank you for giving me that boost. And you know what? I feel like you did that for our Myrtle Beast today, too. You notched them up a little bit.
Lifted them up, and everything's with what's been going on. So, hey, man, you know, it's always fun for me and you to get together.
Yep.
And being with, and all you Myrtle Beast that was with us, just join us next week for another mini dispatch. And in 2 weeks, we'll be doing another dispatches from Myrtle Beach. So,
and it'll be in person.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be in person. That's right. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to be in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. I'm telling you.
We're going to have some adventures.
Sounds like you're going to work me pretty heavy is what it sounds like.
You got that right. All right, Dad. All right. Thanks.
I'm used to it.
I know I can count on you to boost me up, and I love you.
But if y'all got a joke, question, a comment you'd like to share with me, email me at ratherbeshaggin53@aol.com. So y'all have a great weekend, everyone. We can't wait to spin your world again next time. So I'll see you out in LA in a couple of weeks. Love you, son.
Love you too. Thanks, Dad.
All right.